I don't like Bret Hart. I've never liked Bret Hart. I never want to see him compete on Raw ever again. And I don't care what anyone thinks. I don't care what anyone in the audience thinks. Okay. I am the Raw GM.
Time for your weekly dose of the Road to Beat the Most. Fans of mixed martial arts and wrestling walks, keep your speakers closed. Introducing Big Daddy, Donnie, Danny, Yo, and Frank Fronte, the Fatty, the Tally, and the Rastafari. We fucking run the party. Visit our site and just realize that everything we typing up is hyperlus. No need to fight and fuss, leave it for the workers. We get on the mic and shut down all your servers. Stop that podcast before your wax squad gets a fat target on your back from Black Prophet. We blasting bomb shit, too scandalous for cameras, even though the internet can't handle us. Toronto to Los Angeles, we plan a bus in every session for the best show. Like a Bret Hart impression, just like Jordan, we Hall of Fame pros. So turn it up, niggas, it's time for the whole show.
Wait, the same thing forward, dip the same backward. Dip, this is the whole shit, dip the whole show.
I feel so much better having relieved that secret that I am, in fact, the Raw General Manager, may not tell nobody. That shit's done, right? Because this week, Michael Cole read that part of the email that he wasn't supposed to read where I said, I hate Bret Hart. I never liked Bret. And then everybody's been emailing
me. I had a feeling.
Saying,
I'm like, this whole time, this dude's been emailing Michael Cole.
I had to keep it on the down low and everything, you know. But whatever. Fuck. Shit's out now.
So the anonymous atrociousness is gone.
Right.
I see.
Now I can be straightforward with my GMosity.
You know they don't got no GM yet.
No.
They have no clue.
I don't think they need one.
No, I'm actually digging this.
Yeah.
Just let him keep going with
at this
shit.
Point, I still think it's Michael Cole.
How hype would it be, though, if Frank...
I still think it's Michael Cole.
If Big Daddy... If they was revealed to be Big Daddy Donnie, how ill would that be?
Amazing. We get spots.
I wouldn't put you fags over at all.
Biggest cricket fest in the arena, though, eh?
Who?
Yeah.
Yeah? Give me 3 seconds with a mic, and I'll make them fucking eat out of my ass.
The Nation of O would pop, though. I'll say that.
You watch.
I'd be hype.
You give me one mic spot, I'll be the biggest heel in the fucking company.
I guarantee. Drop
you.
That promo right now.
Big Daddy Donnie, your bro Danny O.
Nice.
F and Frank Fronte, we are all here for episode 181. Maybe I'll entertain that thought later.
All right.
We'll see. We've got a jam-packed show for you this week. We are absolutely ecstatic, and it's a good one. We got a lot to talk about, a lot of stuff from the world of professional wrestling.
No doubt.
Huge week in the world of mixed martial arts. And some random shit from the world at large.
Yeah.
And unless anybody has any objections, I say, fuck it. Let's just get right into it.
Word up.
What do y'all say? Is
do
that
it.
Good?
Do it, motherfucker.
O's and O's.
And now it's time for O's and No's.
So I know that we're going to talk about this at length in the pit stop because it really is the biggest story of the year in mixed martial arts. And that is the... And we're not just saying this because this is where we is.
Yeah.
We saying this because according to Dana White and the numbers of the UFC, Ontario, the province of Ontario, is the number one pay-per-view market right now for the UFC.
Trust.
And it's considered to be a hotbed of fighters. It's considered to be a hotbed of prospects. It's considered to be a hotbed of rabid fans that travel all over the world to see UFC.
No doubt.
And now... It has finally been overruled and has finally been overturned. The Ontario government has come together and they have decided to sanction the UFC come 2011.
Yeah, I know Ted's going to talk a lot about this in the pit stop, man, but this actually came a lot quicker than I anticipated, man. I know that Dana White had opened up a UFC office in Toronto in May, and I remember as far back as February, Premier Dalton McGuinty was saying it wasn't a priority. Usually when the government says that something's not a priority, we're talking about years of bullshit and deliberating over nonsense.
I think that's all true. However,
within the calendar year, they got it done.
I think the thing that needs to be pointed out, and there are a lot of people right now, I think, that are sort of patting themselves on the back. Showdown Joe Ferraro and someone mentioned, I think Stormin Norman, who writes for our site, he mentioned that his buddies, the Twin Dragons, that have been pushing the legal side of this for a long time, that they were heavily involved in this finally coming to pass. But ultimately, and I think an Oster mentioned it on our site already, the bottom line is you have to pat Tom Wright on the back, because Tom Wright, the former commissioner of the CFL, is the man who was appointed as the president of UFC Canada.
That's right.
And he came in, and it feels like a hot minute later, all of a sudden, this shit has gone through.
Well,
do not underestimate the connections that that man has, the phone calls he's made, the meetings that he's attended, the people he's influenced, the people that he's educated. And you know what? It means a lot when you have a guy that doesn't show up to meetings in ripped jeans and a sport jacket with a shaved head and an Affliction t-shirt.
I hear you.
This is geeks on your team.
This is a geek, and admittedly so on his own part. He's a total bookworm. He's a total numbers cruncher.
Right.
And he's a guy that looks at it and says, here's why this makes sense for the economy, even if you don't like the sport.
No doubt. And I knew at the end of the day that's what it was going to come down to, proving that this was going to be a huge boost to the local economy and all that other stuff. And
not that our local economy, like I read somewhere someone said, well, of course, Ontario's billions of dollars in debt. Are we really?
It's not even
I've
that,
never
man.
Heard that.
Yo, listen.
Billions of dollars in debt?
Business
really?
Is business. I don't know about that debt situation. Everyone seems to be in debt, but regardless of you in
this
debt
is
or
the,
not.
The commercial epicenter of the entire country.
Yeah. It's,
you know,
it's huge money.
But it's true.
Yeah, no, this is huge
Calgary.
Money. Everyone knows that it's huge money, man. And they're already Calgary. Planning an event for as early as, I think, March of 2011.
They're talking about March 11, 2011, but so or March 14th or something like that.
Well, it's not too far off, basically.
I don't know if that's actually going to happen, because there's still a lot of things that have to happen in order for that to come to fruition.
I have faith now, man. With honest to God, this happened a lot quicker than I thought it would, man. So it's a crazy huge O, obviously, because, you know, how huge the events were in Montreal and Vancouver. And already they've determined that this is the biggest hotbed practically on the planet for MMA. And they haven't even run a show here yet. Telling you, man, it's going to be off the chain.
Rogers Center has seen
they've already predicted that.
Since WrestleMania 6 and 18.
Yeah, 6 and 18 hold the records 1 and 2 for biggest audiences there. So they're looking to break that.
Dana White, well, he's definitely looking to break their own indoor attendance record.
Right.
That, they're saying, is a given. Whether or not they break the record at the Skydome/Rogers Center, they aren't saying that yet. But they are looking to break their own attendance record.
Well, it has the potential to. If anyone does, they have the potential.
It's hard to say, though, man. You can only get that building so full.
That's
and
true.
Are the dimensions for MMA going to be much different than dimensions for wrestling?
Maybe not. Just squeeze in one or two extra seats, guy. Squeeze them in.
I don't think one or two is enough to consider it an official record.
I don't know, man. They're pretty precise. They go right down to the number, don't they?
Yeah, but those numbers are... The Silver Dome, that 93,000... That was such a work.
Yeah.
Anyone who believes that number...
A lot of workers there.
Yeah. So what they do, they just had people like keep turn the turnstile like four times.
It's
just every
it's a number that was created by Vince. It's a completely fabricated number.
Everything's a work.
Yeah, of course it is.
In wrestling, yes. Well, we shall see, man. But obviously we're all really excited for the province with two O's in it, niggas. Finally getting MMA pass, man.
From the world of professional sports, I want to look at this real quick. K-Rod, Francisco Rodriguez, you're fucking nuts, dude. This dude is fucking loco. Did you hear about this story last week?
Not.
It was only a day or so after we did our last episode, after we did episode 180.
Uh-huh.
K-Rod is the closer for the New York Mets, and he got ignored to come out for his closing role in a game last week. I think it was against Arizona. I can't remember anymore. Anyway, it turned out to be a 6-2 loss when he had an opportunity to come out and pick up a save.
Right.
And he was vexed. After the game...
Did they pull him for someone else?
No, he didn't get used
not
at all.
Not him. Did he pull the pitcher for someone else, or did they just leave the pitcher in?
I don't know. Who cares? It's not the story.
Okay.
The point is...
I'm saying, I thought that's why I'd be vexed.
No, there was a save opportunity, and he didn't get to come save.
Right.
That's why he's vexed.
So anyway, someone else got the opportunity.
Someone else got the chance and blew it, and they lost the game.
Right.
After the game, K-Rod is running around smashing shit, fucking around, telling people off. He ends up in the family room at Shea and smashes his father-in-law in the face.
What?
And gets charged with... You guys didn't hear this?
Nah.
He gets charged with third-degree assault, and it ends up being a huge story. And I'm like, what a fucking dummy. You know? If you're going to hit anyone...
His father-in-law of all people?
Yeah.
That's retarded.
And I had an Oster email me about this story and say, all he did was what every married guy has ever wanted to do and box their father-in-law in the face. While that may be true,
that wasn't the right.
That was the wrong course of action for this very public figure.
No question.
If you're gonna box someone, box the freaking manager of the team.
Hold on. Now, why would that have been a better course of action?
Because he's the one that stiffed you. Your father-in-law's trying to calm your stupid ass down.
Yeah, but that shit ain't going to get you no place except off the team and maybe suspended or out of the league.
Maybe closing games elsewhere. No one ever gets suspended from the league anymore, dude. Come on.
I don't know, guy.
Aw, come on. Doc Gooden got, what, 20 chances? Come on. Nobody gets suspended.
If he had given him a black eye, he would have had to find another league to play baseball.
The only one that gets suspended from the league is Pete Rose, and that's because baseball's afraid of what he represents. You know, like, Pete Rose should be fucking reinstated.
100%. We've always agreed.
Guy's still the best player that ever lived. Everyone else that thinks that's wrong can suck my balls.
Yeah. Who else runs over catchers to win a game in an all-star game?
Most hits ever.
Yeah, most hits ever. Period.
You know, I don't give a fuck what he bet on later in life.
Yeah, I don't give a shit either. Most hits ever.
He managed the same team he bet on?
I don't give a shit.
Okay.
I think that's a good plan.
You coach basketball. would you bet the other coach having to beat you?
I'm not a gambler.
He always bet for the Reds. I've never heard. He always bet for.
There was never an indication that he bet against his own team.
Never bet against his own team. That's a whole other story. If he bet against the own team he manages, it's different. Because now he's trying to lose.
Even still, it's a 162 game year. You're telling me you can't throw one or two to the Dodgers and make a little
cash? It just goes to show you how bad of a motherfucking gambler he was if he thought the Reds were going 162-0 in any given season.
Yeah, he lost a lot of money.
Yeah, shit, dude.
He always bet the win.
Yeah, every time. I didn't ever bet against the Reds, but your ass is retarded, dude.
I liked our shot every night. Fuck, the guy's a saint, not a criminal.
Yeah, straight up.
Here's a funny one, too. Chris Bosch, who at this time last year, when he was still a member of the Toronto Raptors, you didn't hear his name once other than Chris Bosch was seen today training at Texas State University. Chris Bosch was seen today training at York University in Toronto. Chris Bosch has been running wind sprints. Chris Bosch has put on 15 pounds of muscle since the end of the season. Chris Bosch is in the best shape of his life, preparing for a huge season. Now all you hear is Chris Bosch on Twitter. Chris Bosch at a nightclub talking to some honeys.
Right.
Chris Bosch is getting himself a new pair of shoes.
You owe it or no one for
he
that.
Likes Big Daddy Donnie's Crocs, and he wants a pair. This is all you hear from Chris Bosch. And the big story now is Chris Bosch dumped his girlfriend of the last 7 years.
Oh, wow.
What's that?
He's moving.
Yeah. Well,
was it a Canadian chick?
It's the same bean that you and I saw.
Oh, no, it's not.
That one time we ran
get
into him at the movies.
Get out of here. He hasn't been running that same thing.
Of course he
get
has.
Get out of here. Fuck that noise.
Yeah. That's same.
Do you know that story,
blood.
Frank?
Yes, I heard she wasn't very pretty.
No.
Did they show her? Come on. How do you know it's her, guy?
It's the same girl he's been with all this time.
Dude, Don, are you that naive that you believe that one chick we saw him with all them years ago
you don't
is
think
his actual bean?
Dude, they've shown pictures of them together.
You don't think
in public.
Bosch is a runaz?
Oh, he's running all kinds of shit, dude.
Wait a
but
minute.
Oh, that's the Toronto bean.
Oh.
That's the wife.
That
in
was
Toronto.
7 years
what
too long.
Toronto bean.
Yeah, come on.
I still remember we were standing in line for popcorn behind Chris Bosch, and Dan turns to me and goes, "That's his bean?" I was like, "Yeah, guy." And he's like, "Guy, I get hotter chicks than him."
Oh, guy. What was the deal? He made her do something. Like, he didn't want to be the guy to do. Like, she had to stand in line.
Yeah,
because
dudes were coming
Hortons.
Up to him. "Yo, Chris, good game today, man. Good game
Yeah,
today.
They had won a game that day.
Yeah.
I said good game to the motherfucker.
Yeah.
And
he's like, "Yeah, bitch, get my popcorn." And he goes in to see Rocky.
Yeah, he went in to watch Rocky Balboa. That's right. And his bitch was in the Tim Hortons line.
Yeah.
Ugly as shit.
So now he's moving up to some South Beach pussy.
Let me tell you something, man. Chris Bosch is enjoying shit right now, man. I saw this article the other day where he's talking about how, and this is a no for me, how, you know, in Toronto, man, it's a great city and there's this, that, and the third going on, but the American media don't give a shit. They don't notice. They don't watch. They don't care. So all he had to do was play for a team south of the border. And now, like you said, everything he does seems to matter. From his Twitter post to who he's breaking up with to what Crocs he's got on his foot. And trust me, all that turns into him or turns into for him is dollar signs,
so
man.
That's not dollar signs. You know what that is?
It is dollar signs because the dude's getting more. Trust me, he's getting more notice. He's going to be getting sponsorship and
shit.
Hold
on a second. More pub does not equal dollars.
No.
And more pub in his case.
I'm not talking pub. You said pub. I'm talking about like certain endorsement deals and all that.
But he hasn't picked up an endorsement deal yet.
He will.
Okay, but what I'm saying is He, along with LeBron James and Dwayne Wade, are three immature little bitches. And what all this increased focus, it's not just the fact that he went to an American team.
Right.
It's that he went to the most high-profile situation in the history of the league.
Yes. Right, with the trios.
The so-called super team.
Right.
So now all the focus is going to be on these three idiots because the whole world wants to see them fail. Yeah. Because of this, these three idiots now have to prove that they're not immature little bitches.
Right.
And all they're doing is proving we immature little bitches.
Right, right.
That's all they're doing. And they really are. You're talking about 25, 26-year-olds that don't have a fucking clue about anything. They've had the whole world handed to them. Ever since they were 12 years old, they've been told they're the greatest thing on the planet.
Right.
And now, come October, when they go, oh, shoot, there's only one ball. Now what?
Why did you have to put the slaveriest, niggerest voice on for that sentence?
Because I missed that part of Frank last week.
There's only one ball, man. What we gonna do? One ball? There's three of us, niggas. You racosity-filled fuckards.
That's right. And I stand by it.
So I suppose you know for that situation.
Yeah, fuck them all.
I don't know. I'm okay with someone unseating the Lakers. We shall see if that happens.
It won't be them.
I have this feeling, too. I was going to say, what do you think the over-under is on number of, let's say, games it's going to take before the implosion begins?
I don't know about that, but I'll tell you this. By this time next year, one of those three will demand out of Miami.
Wow.
Guaranteed.
I don't.
I would bet my car on it.
For real.
One of those three would be like, peace. I had enough of this shit.
Dwayne Wade's going to be a keychain to someone else.
Fucking LeBron already had an article out this week where he says, I could see myself going back to Cleveland one day.
Really?
Really?
He hasn't even played 1 second for Miami.
Wow.
And after all the heat between my – heat, pardon the pun.
Yeah.
After all the bad blood between Cleveland and LeBron over the last month or so, now he's like, I could see myself going back
there. Yeah, he's trying to play both sides of the fence, and that shit is not going to get him anywhere.
In Big Brother, that gets you eliminated.
Oh, man.
You play both sides of the house, you get voted out, man.
That's what happens, man.
That's right. That's what happens.
He just might get voted out.
Okay, so – a lot of people told me they hated SummerSlam this week, and there was a lot about SummerSlam that I thought was really good.
Right.
In fact, I want to make this comment. I read a review of SummerSlam by somebody where he was shitting all over the match between Kane and Ray and going, it's Kane's fault because Kane is boring and Kane's a terrible wrestler. And the match wasn't great. And he's like, it's all Kane's fault. And more of the responsibility has to fall to Kane because he's the champion and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, since when does champion equate to anything in terms of how the match flows?
Right.
You know,
really?
The bottom line is Rey Mysterio is limited in what he can do against a big man. As it is, he's already doing too much against the big man.
Right.
And Kane is having to bump his ass off. And then people are like, we've seen this match a million times in the mid-card. That's not Kane's fault.
Right.
Kane is the one guy you can't really pick on because he's been such a soldier boy to Vince McMahon. Mm-hmm. He's the big red Tito Santana. He will do whatever they say and never bitch.
Right.
The fact that he went, 13, 14, 17 years between world title runs is because he never bitches. They probably forget he's on the roster half the time because he shuts the fuck up and collects his pay.
That's right.
You know, at the end of his career, you won't see Kane going and doing podcast shows and interviews going, I was so depressed. I wanted to kill myself. He's going to be like, I got rich.
I'm rich, motherfuckers.
That's all he's going to say.
Yeah. Just playing his role, never worrying about shit.
And people
hear anyone complain about Kane. You don't hear shit about Kane.
And all the people that are shitting on Kane versus Undertaker and, oh, it's been done before. It's never once been done for a world title.
No. Mm-hmm.
And to me, that increases the importance of it. Increases the stake of it. And I think they can do things that we haven't seen. Not to mention, Undertaker's a completely different worker now than when they had any of their feuds before.
Mm-hmm.
The style of match, I think, is going to be completely different.
Right.
You know? So when people start shitting, oh, it's more of the same, the whole fucking company has been turned upside down in the last 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
You have completely different guys at the top of the card. And people are more the same. Suck my asshole.
You know, the fan base is so different. They didn't see the original feud. They didn't see WrestleMania 14.
Yeah.
I don't know.
From the SummerSlam main event, I thought it was pretty entertaining. Mm-hmm. I thought that the
huge O for, I mean, I didn't, I really thought that that was more of a hope picture than anything having Daniel.
Didn't
Bryan
I tell you a month ago?
Are you the GM for real? Are you been faving?
Didn't
us
I tell you
time?
A month ago Daniel Bryan was
going to
be there?
Last week when I said he was going to TNA.
Well, I said he met with Dixie Carter, and that was a shoot. He did meet with Dixie Carter
you
last
see,
week.
As the GM of Raw, he's going to fucking keep us in the dark because he wants us to watch the product,
right.
See what happens.
Can't tell you fags everything.
Yeah.
He did meet with Dixie Carter last week, and
that meeting didn't go too good.
Well, from what I've heard, uh-huh. Dixie didn't know that Daniel Bryan was going to be showing up at SummerSlam.
Oh, wow.
She had no idea. And I think, from what I hear, she feels like she got worked because he may have used that meeting to leverage a new contract
right.
with Vince. Hmm. And, you know, who can blame him?
Now,
who can blame him?
I was
so Daniel Bryan is finishing up his indie bookings, and he is now a full-time member of the Raw roster once again, as he should have been all along.
Were
I
we,
loved,
all, were
I loved
we
it.
All worked?
Well, that's I was just going to say, I loved HBK's comments this week where he's like, did we all get worked?
Yeah.
He's like, doesn't matter because everything is how it should be now.
No doubt. I'm with that.
So, but it did work out perfectly.
Yeah, totally.
You know, couldn't have worked out better.
Absolutely, man.
The only thing I would have really liked to have seen would be a little bit more from Daniel Bryan in that match. Mm. I thought he was great. The fact that he tapped out Darren Young in like 50 seconds, I thought it was awesome.
Yeah.
The fact that he ran around and looked very impressive against everybody. I know some people love this, but the constant burial of Daniel Bryan by Michael Cole, it gets old.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's the same. He's a 10-year veteran of the minor leagues, people. Yeah. And then Jerry Lawler's like, you know, he main evented in front of 50,000 people
That's
in
right.
Japan.
That's right.
He's like, yeah? Well, did he ever main event WrestleMania?
Yeah.
And Jerry's like, yeah, a lot of people have it.
A lot of, exactly.
He's like, I haven't either.
Yeah. That was
WrestleMania. Dude, Lawler?
He wasn't signed in the
match.
I'm pretty sure he's been
in
one.
He must have been, man.
No? Never?
That was, you know, I owed for Lawler and definitely owed for Cole during that. And then for at least, it was a funny comment that turned into like a 2-minute tirade about how he doesn't eat meat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
I agree. Anyone who doesn't eat meat is gay. That's a shoot.
Oh, yeah.
Right, Daniel? But that being
but
said.
But it sounded so real from Lawler. He's like, is that, that's what you're on in the boat?
Yeah. That's what you don't like about
Jeez.
This kid? I know. It, the thing that kills me, too, is if this was Cole's gimmick, I'd be okay with it.
Yeah.
But he's a complete babyface,
except
when it comes to Daniel Bryan and The Miz.
And The Miz,
then
yeah.
he's a heel.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. Just go all the way then.
I agree. And I'm kind of down with the fact that, you know, they bring back the history between himself and his former pro, The Miz, and now his current guy, Riley, and trying to tie the two in and developing storylines that could definitely, you
this
know,
has
have,
to end with Daniel Bryan winning the U.S. title.
I'm fully with you, man.
Has
but
to.
Like I said, I don't know what the deal is with Cole and the hate-hosity because it doesn't fit the rest of his character, man.
Well, from what I've heard from a lot of people, and I think we've talked about this on the show before, a lot of people think that when it started on NXT,
it
started as a shoot.
Yeah.
Because Cole is one of these guys, legit, who lives in the WWE bubble and never heard of Daniel Bryan.
Right.
Never heard of Bryan Danielson
right.
before he got there. And this, oh, he's been in the indies for 10 years. Cole looks at that and goes, so?
Right.
That means it took him 10 years to get here. Yeah. Only took Batista 72 seconds.
Yeah.
You know?
Really.
Like, whatever. Anyway, back to the SummerSlam main event.
Mm-hmm,
I wanted to say, at first, I was watching and it felt a little bit like a horror movie because the first two guys killed were black.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, what's going on here?
No
you got two brothers on the one side and peace.
Peace, Alas.
They got dissed, but... before this match happened, I was sitting there with Hornet, international wrestling superstar, and a few other of the boys, and I turned to Hornet and I said, dude, I think the breakout star from Nexus is Sheffield.
Yeah.
For real.
And this was at the start of the match, and he goes, really? Why do you say that? He doesn't do anything but clotheslines. I was
right.
like, that's true. But he's so huge,
yeah. mm-hmm.
and he has some degree, not much.
Well, not let's not forget his favorite wrestler is a clothesline specialist, right?
JBL?
Hey, don't ever speak ill of the cowboy.
No.
Don't ever speak ill of the hawk.
No illness.
That being said, the fact that he has some physical charisma,
yes.
he's no Hernandez,
no.
but he has some. He's dumb as a stump, yeah. which makes me think he would do anything he's fucking told. He's huge.
Which makes his clothesline okay.
I think
Nothing
he's the new Batista.
That. Yeah.
Really?
I really do. I think within a year or two, this guy will be at the top of a card.
Wow. And
he has shown he can work a promo a little bit.
He's terrible.
No,
listen.
He can work the stick a little bit.
No, he's awful. He's awful on the stick. He's awful in the ring. But I know the way that they book, and I
know
the way
that's what a champion makes.
I see the way that they like to pick out their talent.
Right.
And Skip Sheffield, in my opinion, will be at the top of the card.
Absolutely.
Whether or not it's successful, I don't know. But I could see them shoving him into that spot. They're going to try and shoehorn him into that spot, in my opinion.
Now, did you guys ever know for the finish? Because, I mean, it was way too classic. We all predicted Nexus going over, and they didn't. And, of course, John
Cena. So how's that too classic? That's swerving everyone.
Yeah, but it's classic that John Cena is the superhero.
But he's the captain of the team. He's your company poster boy.
Ah, I'm so tired of it.
How would you? Okay, how would? Well, hold on a second. How would you have done it?
Oh, I still would have put Nexus over
in the main event.
Sure.
So you would have had the final come down to Wade Barrett versus Cena, and have Barrett go over.
Sure.
That's not a big program. You set up a world title match just like that.
World title match where? There's no belt in there.
But you set it up for another pay per view.
With who? Neither one of them has a belt.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
See, because this is
where's the world title?
See, in my opinion, this is what would have worked out better before Nexus, because what they try to do, and this is classic, the next day on Raw, let's try to get them back over. So we're going to do this whole thing.
They got their heat back. They got their heat back instantly.
Yeah, but it was weak. No, count out wins. Not like, exactly. When's the last time a guy interferes and the match ends in a count out and not a DQ? How was Sheamus coming to the ring and fucking with Orton, not a DQ?
Well, he didn't touch him until the match was over, right?
I've never seen it. But the referee counted Orton out as he fought Sheamus. I've never seen a count out done that way.
Oh, you're right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I see what you're saying. That being said,
so
you're
it
right.
Set up the whole, okay, now we know the one guy's not going to beat Cena at the end.
But you know what? I didn't have a problem with it, because you know that these guys, none of them can be any of those
right
names one-on-one. No one's going to believe that. But somehow, to get through it, I don't have a problem
with
get
it. No, I would just like to have seen it done in a better way.
Huge O for me. Finally, they unify the tag team
titles.
Oh,
let me O for this. This is my O of the week. I marked huge seeing those new belts, man.
And you know what?
About time.
Unlike a lot of people who have written in and called in and everything else, I like the new belts.
Huge fan of the new belts. Those belts actually look similar. Remember the wrestling figures, like the original from the 80s?
Yeah. The LGN.
And the
wax. LJN.
The belt that it came with?
Yeah.
Which was like the belt Hogan beat Sheik for?
Yeah.
Like, they almost look like that. The core round middle and shit.
With the copper plate.
Yeah.
The copper plate is so old school. People are like,
totally old
it
school.
Looks like a penny. That's what I keep hearing. It looks like a penny. It looks fucking old school. And then the circular round plates, it makes it look Japanese.
I'm about it. I love the new belts.
Yeah, I think it's
sick. Yeah, it's so about time they done away with those friggin' double whammies.
Yeah.
The double belts for no reason. And yeah. The WWE, they should have called it the WWE World Tag Team Championships, which is what they were originally called, because they go, they're now going to be called the WWE. That's what the blue
ones were,
motherfucker.
I don't care what they're called. What I care.
They need a new belt.
I don't care what they're called. The point is, it's unifying. Nobody has to carry around two sets of belts anymore.
Yeah.
And it makes more sense, and it gets us back to what it really is all about. Before we go, I want to ask you this, because I had sort of come up with this idea before Darren Young was kicked out of Nexus this week, or it appears kicked out of Nexus, and everyone is already saying, well, he's about to get future endeavored. I'm not so sure.
I don't think so.
With the amount of airtime they've given him and the amount of ribbing that Cena's done on him.
Absolutely.
I'm not, you know, my mama had an affair with Buckwheat.
Yeah.
People who shit on Cena did his thing this week. I don't care.
I can't even shit on Cena this week.
That cracker made me laugh.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
And anyway, that being said.
Yeah, when you can diss your own mom in a joke and get away with it.
How about Darren Young coming out with an image makeover as Darren Young, doctor of Thugonomics?
Wow. Just shave that hair off.
Yeah.
If he gets a Cena haircut, it'll be like.
He's got a freestyle.
Cookies and cream.
He's got to come out to the, this is basic Thugonomics. What do you think?
I don't know if you want to take it that route.
Come on, man. Black Cena. Oh, if you can have black machismo, why can't you have black Cena?
He'd be crazy over. I'll tell you that. It's so easy to turn the fans around.
It's like the 80s. Yeah. You could have like the B-level Cena on all the house shows, and Cena gets to take the week off.
It's true.
Yeah.
They should just put them under a hood and they'll both be under hoods and just call them the Killer C's.
Oh, my God. Fucking Twin Cena connection.
Trust.
I dig it, man. I think it's got to... Yeah, that's what Cena would be saying.
It's so weird how Cena himself has to agree that Darren Young looks like him and shit.
Because it's no one can deny weird. It. It's ridiculous. So yeah. It's like you look at him and go,
yeah.
Cena's tan.
Yeah.
Cena's real tan.
Yeah.
What's going on there, guys?
Yeah. I will say this much, man. They're definitely keeping me interested with the way that shit is going, man. We're going to see more breakups, makeups. I wouldn't even be surprised if Darren Young walks out with Nexus next week.
I guess I got to say this real quick. An O for the tag team match that happened on Impact last week, the final in that series of five between the Guns and the Beer Monies.
Oh.
Let me just say this. First time in the history of the Motor City Machine Guns that they did anything in the ring that made sense.
Wow. Yeah.
I think every match they do should be 2 out of 3 falls. Because that instantly makes them make more sense.
Absolutely.
You do 5,000 finishers, at least 2 of them gotta count.
True.
Makes sense, true.
Yeah.
Always work Robert Roode.
Always work Robert Roode and let him carry your ass and you'll be okay. We'll be back right after this.
This is Booker T, the 5-time WCW champion, and you listening to the old show.
Healthy living is your best revenge. Mike and Mike's presents Organic Select, some of the best snacks available on the market. Don't take my word for it. Check out what the Flatliners had to say.
Give me these ones. No, not the walnuts.
I love the raw nuts.
Raw. Yeah, you're raw, eh?
What are they, cashews?
Yeah.
I'm a fan of the cashews.
Stop fucking eating them all, you asshole. I can't help it.
Hey!
They're all broken.
Well, pass me the walnuts.
You can fucking eat my walnuts.
You can have the shell ones.
I'm giving you these because you fucking finished all the cashews.
They're fucking delicious.
You're such a faggot. There's none left.
Well, it's protein!
Protein, you fucking... You're such a... Look at that! Crumbs! Fucking guy.
For more information, check out organicselect.ca. They're fucking delicious.
Escúchame, mi gente, this is Rico Montana, and I'm here to tell you how I love Ontario Indie Wrestling. So be like Rico and get to Hammerlock Video on theoshow.com and order your DVDs and see the best in Ontario independent professional wrestling. E si no, te rompo la madre.
This is Robert Broome from Total Nonstop Action Wrestling, and you're listening to The O Show.
See, Frank says that Robert Roode is the best wrestler on the planet, and then right. Robert Roode in the next segment puts us over. That's just how we roll around here.
You gotta love it, man.
That's just how we roll.
Yes. Right.
And not gonna lie, he might be one of the best workers in the world right now, and that tag team Beer Money might be the best tag team of this generation. You're amazing.
You're Mr. Hyperbole, eh?
Yeah. Yeah. Shit, they're really good.
This guy's always
who else? LAX is awesome, and the Fed hasn't produced any good tag teams. Art Dennis is very good. That is going to spear money.
They haven't produced any good tag teams. Art Dennis is awesome.
Yeah.
That's Frank Fronte, ladies and gentlemen. Love him, hate him, or want to kill him.
Yeah. All of the above.
There's no beer money.
If we got ladies here, and mm-hmm. we got to play a game of Mary F and kill.
I say F,
okay, Mary fuck kill.
Thank you.
You'd always get
what was
the kill.
The censorship.
Are you sure?
Because that's just how people say the game.
Oh, they do. Okay.
Yeah. If we played Mary fuck kill, you'd always get kill.
They always want to marry me. No.
Wow.
I always get chosen to get married.
You might be right.
Really?
I might get killed.
Seriously, who'd want to marry Daniel?
Oh shit, that's a short list. It's all dudes. We had the best conversation during the commercial break.
I was just
going
to say, man, are we going to even go there?
We have to touch on it real quick just because sure. Danio is having this huge problem. I don't even know how this started in the commercial break.
It always starts I think it was with you freaking guys.
It was something to do with Frank talking about Rod Stewart and, you know, pumping nut out of his stomach and stuff. Right. And then Dan's like, that's the gayest thing I've ever heard. And I'm like, wait a minute.
It's like a 20-year-old rumor, or maybe not a rumor.
No, I think it's
a
shoot.
Okay, if it's a shoot, my contention is that's the gayest thing a guy can do.
He's gay.
Well, absolutely. That makes him gay. If he blew how many guys?
Rachel Hunter. That's
yeah, he still pounds tons of hot tail.
Right, and my argument was, okay, I'm not a murderer, even though I kill people once a month, because I'm a surgeon and I save lives on a regular basis.
But how do you compare murder to gayosity?
The point is, you either are or you aren't. You could call it murder.
That's not it.
You could call it anything.
Okay, so let me ask you this.
Okay.
Because we didn't say this in the commercial. So let me ask Dan this. If a chick sucks your dick, then goes out and eats pussy,
right,
is she gay?
Let's stick to the point here.
Wait a second! Double standard O?
I've always said, I don't have a problem with
Is she gay?
I don't have a problem with
is
the
she? I just want...
Women are
hold on
bisexual,
a second.
But guys aren't.
Right, women are bisexual. That's right, yes. A guy who swallows nut is straight up Mo. No
but he also fucks hot chicks.
Right, and like I said,
I'm convinced that basically every rock star ever is bi because they get so bored of pounding hot bitches all
how
the time.
How is that possible?
They're just like,
how is that possible? I'm bored of pounding hot bitches.
Dude, because I'm sure once
you
pound, once you pound 60,000 cunts, you're like, there's got to be something else.
Would you get? You think you'd get bored after 60,000?
I don't know. Ask me when I hit 60,000.
Right.
I don't know, dude. Ask Will Chamberlain. I'm sure he took a couple nuts
in
the mouth.
Sure. Did he? Why is he? Why are you guaranteed? Did he put that in his biography?
No, because he was afraid. He was afraid.
You guys
he
are.
He's worried about yeah, I suck cock. No, he's gonna try it because he fucked 50,000 women.
I'll tell you right now, if he didn't get any gay dudes, it's only because of his first name. They figured they'd be disappointed.
That was humorous. But you guys are both hardcore Moes, that's for sure.
Who's a Mo?
You guys are Moes.
We're just consistent. If a girl can be
No,
bi,
I'm consistent. I only blaze pum pum, not dude.
You just won't eat it.
So that's what a straight dude does. A straight dude cannot say.
You do realize, though, like when you're banging a chick from behind, that's essentially the exact same mechanic if you were banging a dude from behind.
What does your car have to do with this?
My car?
Yeah.
The mechanics behind the product.
This ain't about mechanics. It's who you're doing it with. I don't care about no damn mechanics.
If someone's on their hands and knees and you're sticking it in them from behind and pounding them.
So you think gayosity when you're backshotting a bean. All of a sudden, this is.
I'm just pointing. It's
more gay to do it in that way because that's what gay dudes do to each other.
But one of the most ungay things.
I don't think about that.
One of the most ungay things is to worship and enjoy the punani, which you refuse to do.
I don't have no problem with no punani.
You ever go fuck your nose before? You ever go sit on top of your face?
Go ahead and tell the story because clearly you want to go there.
Have you ever had a girl sit on top of your face and fuck your nose?
No, I've never had. I've never been nose fucked.
Your nose isn't that big. Mine's huge.
Right.
I have nose
well, you. That's why they nose fuck you, because
that's true.
They Frank, prefer that to
we
your
get
actual dick.
We got to get t-shirts for Frank. Ride my nose, bitch.
Yeah.
Yes! That'd be sick.
It probably is better for them than the Wally.
Let's go right now, ladies and gentlemen, to a man who doesn't want any part of this convo.
No.
Ladies and gentlemen, from deepest, darkest Compton, he is the Black Prophet.
Thank God.
Suckers talk too much shit, man. Come off it.
New entire crack-ass punks need to stop it.
Time for this club to burn down your mosh pit. Prepare yourself for the Black Prophet.
There ain't no role models for my young prophets and prophets. Back in the day, we had at least two brothers to look up to. Niggas go through these phases where they trick you into thinking brothers are gonna get their shit together. Doom, Harlem Heat, Nation of Domination, Thuggin' and Buggin'. Groups full of brothers who should get a shot at glory. Only nigga from a Nation of Domination that got that huge spotlight was a Rock, and that's because he mixed with Samoan and got wavy hair. Speaking of thugging and bugging, I hear you got Rodney Mack on the show. I want you to ask him what it's like for Teddy Long being such a little bitch on TV every week. Ask him why he's still using Rodney Steve music that still says his goddamn name in the beginning.
For real.
Ask him if he believes like I do that Teddy's Jerry Curl was a source of his power, and when he cut that shit, he lost his balls as well. Nigga letting Eddie Guerrero's wife do whatever the fuck she want on SmackDown. This bitch is gonna ride Eddie's tombstone to fame until that shit is as thin as a sheet of paper. The closest thing we got to strong niggas is NXT. NXT interrupted that bullshit Kingston and Ziggler match. These niggas have fought every week for 10 months and I'm sick of that shit. Yeah, NXT lost at the pay-per-view, but these niggas be going full gangster when they work together. Your prophet likes that shit. Mm-hmm. But there's one of these fools I praised a couple of months back because he lost his mind. He choked a bitch with their own necktie and got fired for it. He had a moment. A nigga moment. Bryan Danielson, come back for part of this boy, you punk bitch. But don't be fooled, my people. When was the last time that devil Vincent Kennedy McMahon was this forgiven? I know a work when I see one, and I know a fucking mole when I see one. The American drag queen, Bryan Danielson, got let go and was used to scout locker rooms around the country for talent. And he ain't done. Watch as a bunch of niggas from ROH start showing up in the WWE. I'm not called a prophet for nothing. Word. This has been your black prophet, your prophet of rage.
Wow.
The American drag queen.
That's awesome.
It's a little unfair.
How the fuck is that unfair?
Well, I don't know. I think it's kind of a soft prediction to say guys from ROH are going to start showing up a week after Tyler Black signs.
Yeah.
Watch, motherfucker, that locker room going to look like you watching that HD Sports Net shit.
For real.
By the way, the Black Prophet informed me earlier, Tyler's middle name ain't.
Motherfucker.
So, yeah, okay. Did you have any problem with the first two guys that were eliminated from the SummerSlam main event being black?
Not at all.
Oh.
That shit was totally expected.
Oh.
For real.
Why is that, sir?
Because they niggas.
Yeah. What more do you want, man?
That's just how it goes, right?
You know I was going to go down.
Is Darren Young really black? I have to find this out from the Black Prophet.
I've been having my people look this shit up, and I'm still not sure.
There's a black investigation.
Yeah, black investigation.
We put a motherfucking APB out on his identity.
Word up.
And what'd it turn up?
Nothing yet.
Word up. We're working on that shit.
He looks like me in blackface.
He does look like he's in blackface
so
all the
true.
Time.
It's totally true.
I don't quite get it.
That shit might be a...
Oh, God.
Did you see me in the goat rig? Did you? Prophet?
He's no selling your honky ass.
Yeah.
Check the phone. Is he there?
I'm gonna cut you, motherfucker.
I thought it was really good last week.
No, I saw that little picture of your punk ass dressed up in blackface. Like you need any more reasons for me to come up there and just kill your ass.
So true.
But I was honoring you. I was trying to act like you.
Honoring
him.
Motherfucker, that's you acting like me.
Yes!
You want to act like me? Start by growing a dick.
By growing what?
Growing a dick.
Yeah, oh,
it's a little harsh. I mean,
Frank uses his nose, man.
Yeah,
he's all about nose fucking. What's he need a dick for? He's got that long clit.
Yeah.
Motherfucker's nose longer than his dick.
Prophet, I got to ask you a question, okay? Because we had this conversation, the commercial break, mm-hmm. And. I know that you will give us an unbiased opinion. Here's the question. If a guy fucks the hottest women on the planet, but occasionally sucks dick, is he gay? Is he bi? Or is he just bored?
Hmm.
Oh, man.
He's a fag.
Straight goods, man.
Wow. Okay.
When motherfuckers get bored, they start using whips and chains and shit.
Right.
Yeah, but what if they've done all that, you know?
Then kill yourself.
Okay, man, well, there you go. Suicide is the next option.
Right.
If you've done everything, what the fuck else have you ever lived
Yeah,
for?
If you're bored of all that pussy, I'm sorry. There's nothing left in this
life
that
you see guys
you
like Dave Navarro, who fucked the hottest women on the planet, and he's like, yeah, I fucked around with a few guys on the road, whatever. And it's
There's
like,
no such thing as a fucking a few guys. Mm-hmm. That fuck five, that means he fucked 500.
Word up.
I still remember Paul Bearer's quote, "Just because you suck two or three guys does not mean you're gay."
Wow.
It's That's true. The gayest shit I ever heard.
Totally.
All right, we got to go. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the Black Prophet, your prophet of rage.
Peace, homeboy.
Bye. Talk to you later, Daniel.
Hater. He's such a hater.
Y'all are haters, man. Y'all are gators.
Gators?
Yeah, and I don't mean Allah.
Dude, you need to get over this stuff. Your hate for, like, you know.
It's not hate. It's realism.
I like how.
Blacks can do whatever they want. I'm just saying that if you blow dudes, you're gay. Say you're gay. I don't see why the problem. Don't stop hiding the gayosity.
Okay, I understand that's a huge obstacle for you to overcome. So let's forget about blowing dudes and also banging chicks. Let's forget about that.
All right.
You're uncomfortable with the fact that Frank has a very close friend that's gay.
I didn't say I was uncomfortable with it. I was asking him if he's not uncomfortable because they probably want to blaze him, and he insists.
But where do you get that? Girls don't even want to blaze him. Why would guys want to?
I don't think like those guys, is what I'm saying. And that was my whole point. If you can't think like them, you can't sit there and go, no, they don't.
They don't.
You don't know.
Guys, they just happen to watch different porn and fuck each other.
Have you ever fantasized about a female friend you've never touched, never will touch, has a boyfriend, whatever?
Yes.
Absolutely. Okay. Yes, well, that's what you are to them.
No.
You're their male friend.
No,
you're their male friend. No, there's no chance. You fantasize about beans you have no chance with all the time.
So every time you're around a gay guy in real life, you're convinced that gay guy's trying to fuck you?
No, but I'm saying I don't know what he's thinking.
But you think he's probably thinking that he wants to fuck you.
I'm thinking as long as the potential exists for him to think that, there's a problem.
So do you think every girl that walks by you thinks she wants to fuck you?
Not at all.
So then... then why would a guy want to?
Because I'm okay if she was thinking that.
But guys can tell straight guys, and they don't want a business.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, fine. They can tell if you're straight or not. That doesn't mean they don't think you're hot.
But dude, if
they can still
like
you.
No worries. You're not that hot.
You're telling me that lezzas, there's not hot lezzas? They don't want nothing to do with it. I can still notice the lezzas hot.
But you're not that good looking, so don't worry.
Thank God you don't think
you're
so.
You're okay.
I'm glad you don't think so.
Ain't no Batty boy gonna look and go, I'm gonna guess some of Danielle. Mm-hmm.
I would love to be in the same room as Orlando Jordan and Daniel, though.
Would you?
I bet he'd love him.
You like to be right in the middle of that, eh?
Literally.
Yeah.
Literally. Totally.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Let's take the... No, we're not gonna take a break just yet. Hang on one second here. What are we doing? Yeah, you know what time it is right now, guys. We were supposed to do this at the start of the segment, but we were all in a rush to get to the prophet and talk about all that gayness. So right now, it's time for the pit stop. Happy MMA Day, Ted.
Yeah.
Yeah, looks like, great things happened while I was gone in Las Vegas.
All we needed to get MMA legal in Ontario was for Ted to leave the country.
Right.
That's all it took.
See? And you know, it's kind of like when I left Las Vegas as well. All they needed to do was get me out of there. Next thing you know, 2 million people live in there. It's a safe place to live again.
There you go. See, Ted leaves town. Las Vegas flourishes. UFC grows in Las Vegas. Ted leaves Ontario. They're like, it's safe to come in.
For real.
Just don't let anyone know you're back.
Well, you know, I'm not really.
How shocked? How shocked were you that the announcement not only was made as soon as it was, but that it was dropped on a Saturday afternoon by a press release?
Yeah, you know, obviously somebody was working a little bit of overtime. I mean, it's no surprise. You know, we talked about it. We didn't think that it was going to be. It is no surprise that it did happen, and kudos the fact that it did happen as fast as it did, because now they can start planning for a March event in Ontario.
Right.
The UFC, I mean.
A lot of people.
Now, the problem you're going to find with this is that. Yeah. You know, much like professional wrestling and all of the rest of them, is that this is going to now sprout up a whole lot of indie MMA promotions, if it were, here
in
Ontario.
Is that bad, though? Is that bad? Because that could be very good.
Could it? I mean, I don't know. I mean, we'll have to wait and see. As long as we don't end up like, you know, down in North Carolina or some of the other places, you know, where they don't have the amount of people who can actually govern this stuff, and so we end up having injuries and accidents and actually people dying. That's the downside of all of this.
Well, here's
I think one of the things that you're going to find is that you know, much like when pro wrestling was governed by the athletics commission,
right?
They made all of the a lot of people couldn't run. I'm sure that that's going to be the case here with the MMA stuff, too.
Here's the thing, though. With the Ontario Athletic Commission, ever since pro wrestling was disbanded as one of the bodies that it governed, really, the OAC only looks after about 5 or 6 events per year. They don't do much. So they have all kinds of bandwidth to take on a whole bunch more MMA events, be it the UFC or grassroots level. And I'm thinking that if they go ahead and do this the right way, you could be looking at the greatest hotbed of talent development, because there's already a ton of Ontario guys that have made it, you know, to star level, either in, you know, that are coming from Ontario. And so you can expect more to come through if it's now legal and guys can fight in Ontario and they can hone their craft and they can train and they can do all this. More schools will start to open up this. Yeah. I mean, yes, there is the potential for this to go bad, but the good thing, though, Tid, is it's not going to go bad, at least not quickly, like indie wrestling, because to run an indie MMA show, you got to have deep fucking pockets, because you're not talking about paying guys peanuts and sandwiches.
Right.
Well, the nice thing about this is what it's going to do is it's also going to open up new revenue for sponsors, because people aren't going to have to travel as far. And if there's companies that are running MMA events here in Ontario, you know as well as I do that that really complements companies that run their businesses here in Ontario. So those people are going to be more apt to give money out to sponsor these fighters so that they can get the name of their business known on a more local level. So that's definitely going to be a bonus.
Horodecki was going to join us this week to talk a little bit about this huge decision and what it means to Ontario and what it means to the MMA and to those fighters from Ontario that fight in this business. We couldn't squeeze it all in. It's too much of a busy show, but we're going to have Horodecki join us next week, so that should be really cool. That being said, Tid, aside from the MMA legal as of 2011 in Ontario, I got to ask you about this. A lot of MMA fans, UFC fans, despise the ground that Brock Lesnar walks on. And the reason that they do is because, A, he's got the pro wrestling background. And, B, they look at him and go, he's so fucking big. He's a big fucking juicer. He's a steroid case, blah, blah, blah. And then the story comes out this week.
But apparently he beat up a juicer.
Right. That's the story. Tid scoops the headline.
Yeah.
Shane Carwin has been associated with a major steroid scandal.
Oh, man.
Well, I mean, the sad part is that, you know, you look at the other names like the pro wrestler guys. The Kurt Angle was on that list. Bob Hawley was on that list. These are guys that are clearly going to come out and say, yeah, maybe I did. Would be the guy who comes out and says, no way, this is not true, it didn't happen, I've never failed a test, there's no fucking way, every P test I've ever taken has always been negative, but you know as well as I do that this shit doesn't show up in piss tests.
Right.
Let's start testing, take the hair samples and start testing them that way. Then I think you're going to find a lot more guys end up looking like Roy Nelson than look like Shane Carwin.
Wow.
Excellent observation.
Can motherfuckers not work out and get deezed anymore? Like, what? Seriously?
Well, you know, a lot of them can, but I mean, the guys that work out and look natural and stuff like that end up at best looking like guys like, you know, Anderson Silva or maybe like Chael Sonnen or, you know, something like that. But when you're talking these heavyweight guys, that's a whole lot of stuff that they got to carry around, and just trying to maintain that physical, you know, ability and just trying to maintain it's a full-time job in itself. So, you know, if these guys know that they can turn a corner a little bit easier, they've got 6 to 8 months off, they can do a couple of cycles, clean their system out, still get the effects, still get the results, and everything's hunky-dory.
I wonder when though, Tid, MMA fighters, UFC fighters are going to come around and say, you know what? I don't have to be a jacked-up motherfucker in order to be competitive and to be good, because Some of the best fighters in the history of the sport have not been. As long as I'm strong, as long as my technique is sound, as long as I know what I'm doing, the days of the jacked up roid monkey is using that as an intimidation factor, those days are gone. When you see guys like Chet Congo get fucking murdered and Roy Nelson punching guys in the face and making hamburger out of their face, I mean, I think the days of the jacked up dude using that as a, as an intimidation factor, that's gone. You know, you don't really need that.
Yeah, I don't. I agree with you completely. I don't think that you do need it. But you know as well as I do that until they can get this to that pure sport level, they're going to need to have some kind of sideshow. And that sideshow is these jacked up dudes going out there. Because when you walk past a poster, I mean, let's face it. Are you going to walk past a poster that has Roy Nelson on it? You know, I hate to keep coming back to him, but if you go back past a poster and it has like Roy Nelson on it, and you know, I don't know, John Madden on there, or you know, any of these other kind of dumpy looking guys, if they have them on there, you're going to sit there and go, oh yeah, I'm going to shell out $50 to watch this.
Right.
No, but if you walk past it and you see a guy like Brock Lesnar on there, or a guy like Chuck Congo even, or, you know, something like that, these guys that look all jacked and ripped and, hey, I'm going to rip your fucking face off. That's the intrigue right now, because it's not at that level. I hope that it does get to that level, because I don't want to see these guys try to put too much into their bodies and then one of them ends up dead, because that's just going to send the sport back 20 fucking years.
Right. So, Dan, do you prefer the guys like the Brock Lesnar's, like the Ken Shamrocks, as opposed to the Roy Nelsons?
You think I don't know where you're going with this?
Because to me, marketing to a male audience based upon the bodies of the male fighters, that's gay. That's gayer than anything we talked about at the top of this segment.
Maybe so.
Which brings me to this question, Tid. Yeah. If a guy bangs the hottest women, if a guy bangs the hottest women in the world, but also sucks dick from time to time, is he bi or is he gay?
Why is this the overall theme of this?
I just want to ask
Tid. Hold on. Let Tid answer.
That's gay.
Thank you. Thank you, my man.
It's not. No. Once you willingly say, hey, I'm going to stick this stiff pole in my cheek and try to floss my teeth with it, you're a faggot.
Thank you. Oh, God. There is some justice in this world.
Why don't you fucking go right after?
What?
What if you fuck a girl right after?
That doesn't take the gay away.
Yeah.
Okay, well.
Does it even out?
That's the defining answer,
no,
then.
No, even, you know, no.
There you go.
No. If you were a rapper, Frank, your name would be Uncool Modi.
Wow.
The gay, gay West.
I used to go downtown.
I'm on 69th Street.
It's funny how Frank has no clue what that song is.
Nothing. He's sitting there going, what do you mean?
Am I getting ribbed?
The gay, gay West. The gay, gay West.
I hear a parody coming.
That was awesome. You guys, big, huge O for you guys bringing that shit. You are Uncool Modi for real.
Good shit.
That was awesome.
Tid, we got to fly, dude. We'll talk to you next week.
Chowder fucks.
Notorious T.I.D., ladies and gentlemen. Well, he gave us the defining answer.
Oh, yeah,
that's it.
Because when Tid says so, it is.
Yeah, well.
Now, is it gay if I update my Facebook right now using my phone and calling myself Uncool Modi?
No, I think that's fine. But Dan has a big problem with social networking.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Let me tweet that I just laughed at the fact that Tid brought up a Cool Modi
you
reference.
Should.
Dan is so anti.
I need to put it on. I have to put it online right now so everyone knows that I laugh.
He's so anti social networking.
Cool.
Danny is convinced that if you're social networking, you're a fucking loser.
No, I think if you're social networking more than if you update your status more than once, I'll push twice a day. Something's wrong with your life that you have to tell
because,
every single
because
person
you're,
about.
You're
every
under this
single
whole
thing
that people
do.
Are sitting in front of their computers, running their life, sitting at home on their computer.
I know they're not doing that. I go out all the time. I do different shit. It doesn't even cross my mind to think, wait, hold up. Let me take even 10 seconds to tell everybody about this. It was cool.
It makes it look like you leave your house.
Things were going just great for me long before these motherfucking websites came out where I had to say, guess what? I'm at Maestro's book signing and I just took a picture with him. I can report it the next day.
No, you gotta do it
I can
right
tell
then,
you
that. Dude,
no, exactly. I think y'all are neat.
The thing is, Dan, In the last 10 years, the world has become immediate. Microwaves take too long.
Right.
Everything you need it 10 seconds ago.
You know what? I'm okay, man. I can chill. I'm all right chilling. I don't need to be doing all that.
Man, that technology forgot.
It did forget me a long time ago.
Hosting an online radio show.
That's quite all right, motherfuckers.
It's just a good thing Dan's not the one spinning the dials and making the
no,
show
there would be no show. It'd be 3 minutes of noise and snow, and if snow can make noise, you know what I mean.
Big Daddy Dottie, your bro Daddy-O.
Television snow, niggas.
Fucking Frank Fraude. We got to get out. Thank you, Black Prophet. Thank you, Tid. You added a lot of clarity, answered a lot of questions.
Yes, thank you.
You know what? Maybe they're right.
Go suck a dick then. You'll still be straight. Feel free.
I'm straight.
Right.
He's just taking it up for the bis.
For the gays.
Yeah. No, for the bisexuals.
Gay West.
He's from the
gay West. The gay West. Gay West. We gotta take a break. We'll be back right after this.
This is the Honky Tonk Man, the greatest intercontinental champion of all time. And you're listening to the number one, the O Show.
I don't think Honky's gay. InsidePulse.com is a pop culture mega site filled with hundreds of original articles, podcasts, and videos each week. Pulse Wrestling is home to Scott Keith and some of the internet's coolest commentary. IPTV features Mertz Jaffer, star of TV Tropolis's Reality Obsessed, blogging and spoiling all of TV's hottest shows, plus UFC, video games, music, and much more. Hey, if you're an Oster, you're going to love InsidePulse.com. It's pop culture that'll make your heart race.
This is Carlito, and you're listening to The O Show, and that's cool.
Hey yo, Big Daddy, Fronte,
present,
Danny-O,
check.
Now who's up on deck?
This week on the roundtable, former WWE Women's Champion, Shaq!
The roundtable, baby, it's the roundtable, baby,
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it is a pleasure right now to welcome to the roundtable for the first time ever on the O Show radio program, one of Danny O's all-time favorite female wrestlers.
No doubt, man. This is my sis right here, son.
Ladies and gentlemen, former WWF Women's Champion. I think it was F, right?
Might have been.
Before the E. Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, first time he ever was F.
Nice.
Here's Jazz, everybody. How are you?
What up, girl?
I'm great. What's going on? What's up?
Chilling.
We were hoping.
I wish I could say I was chilling.
Why are you not?
What's up?
Why are you not chilling tonight, Jazz?
Oh, well, I just finished doing a workout class, so I'm just getting in. Just gave my girls a bath, so.
Oh, wow.
I'll be chilling here in a little bit once I get them settled down into bed.
Cool. I understand you have beautiful twin girls?
Yes, I have two beautiful little girls. Yes, nice. I do.
That's awesome. Dope. Congratulations to you and to Rodney. And Rodney
Thank
was actually going to join us tonight. We were going to have you and Rodney, but unfortunately he got busy. He's doing the MMA thing tonight.
He ain't chilling either. He's work.
He's working hard.
Yeah, he never chills. He don't know how to chill.
I somehow figured that about Red Dog.
For real.
Hey, oh, yeah.
We're going to try to get him a little bit later on, though, and see if we could still have him on the O Show, because I know we would definitely have some stuff we want to talk to him about. But, Jazz, I got to ask you, first of all, how much do you follow professional wrestling on television these days?
I don't get to watch it much. I mean, first of all, when I got released, I was a little pissed off. I didn't want to watch.
I hear you.
And later on, I started watching a little bit, and just watching the girls used to just disgust me so much.
For
I couldn't
real.
Stand to watch it. So I don't care too much for as far as watching wrestling anymore on TV. It's changed, completely changed.
I got to ask you, Jazz, coming directly from a former world champ and somebody who's obviously been in the ring for a long time, We've talked a lot about the women's division on television and how it sort of disappointed us. Coming from yourself, though, you went so far as to say disgusted by it. Give us your thoughts on what you see when you're watching these ladies on television.
Well, first of all, they're just focused on eye candy. And, right. I mean, eye candy gets a little old to me after a while. You know, once you've seen the tit and the ass, I mean, tits and ass all look the same, you know.
Yeah.
I think fans are being cheated. They want to see some, you know, some ground and pound, you know, some ass kicking. And I believe the fans are being completely, you know, cheated out of that.
The one thing I'll say is this, and I'm not saying I agree with this because, believe me, I don't. But the WWE, it's not this way in TNA, but the WWE is at least consistent with how they're developing talent on the male and the female side. They're going cookie cutter when it comes to men and women. They want the hot bodies, the perfect faces. They want the people that look like they could be in an Abercrombie and Fitch catalog and not necessarily people that look like wrestlers. And
yeah,
and that's
gone. They're just changing the game of wrestling, you know? I mean, of course, sex gonna sell, and that's no matter where you at, you know, sex gonna sell, but, I mean, it's wrestling. It's not the Playboy Mansion, you know what I mean?
Right.
So, men who can freaking wrestle and put on a great show.
Right.
You know?
Here's the ironic thing. You were on top of the WWF women's division during the quote-unquote attitude era when it was no holds barred and anything goes. Now that they're PG, they're more focused on tits and ass than ever before.
Oh, yeah.
You know, during the time when you were running things over there, you guys had, I mean, I remember then, you know, people were taking a dump on some of the women's wrestlers in that division going, oh, what's she doing in there? She's just a, you know, is she a cheesecake model? And she doesn't deserve to be in there with Ivory or Jazz or, you know, Molly Holly. She doesn't deserve to be in there with those chicks. But now you don't even have one of those chicks.
I know.
Like, everyone's a cheesecake model.
Exactly, exactly. And, I mean, it's just, I don't understand it. And, I mean, and I can't even give you any answer. It's just that it's disgusting, you know. Put some ass kickers in the ring. Ass kicking gonna always sell, you know. People watch wrestling to see someone get their ass smashed, you know. So,
yeah,
you know, like I said, they got the girls next door with him, you know, Hugh Hefner to watch tits and ass, you know, and wrestling in baby oil or a pool of pudding or whatever, you know. But that square circle is for, you know, for athletes who's, you know, who love to kick ass.
Right.
And I believe that's one of the reasons I'm not there right now. Because, first of all, I would not be in that ring with one of them little girls and so say, just trying to make them look good. Because where I come from and the belief I have and the competitor that I am, you know, I would smash them, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know what?
I would straight up smash them.
I mean, you came up differently, though, right? Because You fell in love with wrestling, from my understanding anyway, from what I've heard, partly because you were a big fan of Miss Jackie.
Yeah.
And then you trained with a Hall of Famer.
Yes, most of them, JYD.
Right. You trained with JYD, and didn't you also train with who was it? Johnny Rods or
No, I trained with Rod Price.
Oh, with Rod Price, my bad. I got my rods mixed up.
It was Rod Price. Yeah, Rod Price.
Always mixing up their rods.
Yeah, I do that from time to time. So JYD and Rod Price.
And it's one thing Rod always taught me and taught us, me and Rodney, was never let shit let you look like shit.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well said.
So, and that's pretty much all you can say about that. Never let shit allow you to look like shit.
For real.
What happened when you and Rodney were brought back in 2005, 2006, and then you guys were around for a couple months, and then you were let go? Everyone thought that you were going to be part of the new ECW, and then suddenly that didn't happen.
Again, I feel that, you know, the couple of shows I did, I got probably the hugest pop, and I don't think they expected that. And it's like, ECW was the birth of jazz, you know what I mean? So, and furthermore, I wrestled men in ECW. I never wrestled a girl until I got to WWE or ELF or whatever. So, and people are used to seeing me just, you know, and then with the guys, you know, just banging it out with the guys, you know, and that's what they expected to see once I was back with WWE, their ECW era, whatever. And I guess the office just didn't want that. I don't know, man. Like I said, I don't have any answer to none of those questions. I'm not on TV.
I hear you.
But I'm glad I'm not. You know what I mean?
Well, you're happy now. You got your beautiful girls, and you're living the good life. And you've got a show coming up on August 28th for World Wrestling Today. They're big sponsors of this show down in El Paso, Texas. That's going to be an awesome event. Do you know who you're working that day?
I believe I'm working Simply Luscious.
There you go. Smash her ass.
I'm going to smash her ass.
You know, I want to say, Jazz, when you talk about working men and all that, I have often said this, and I don't want to sound hypocritical by going back on my word, but I have often said that in my mind, I have very little room for male versus female matches. Mm. Because...
And I totally understand. Yeah, I get what you're saying, but
yeah.
Go ahead.
No, my point is because... it's almost always a bad spot for the guy. You know, the only times I've ever seen it work, coincidentally, both in ECW, one was you and one was Luna. And that's because both of you worked like men.
Right.
You would bump like men. Mm-hmm. You'd take the heat like men. And it wasn't like it felt like a cheesecake versus a guy where she ends up with the schoolboy and we're all supposed to pop.
Right.
You know, I'm sick of that angle. But you do agree for the most part that male versus female matches are usually pretty difficult. And you know what? Near impossible if the guy's a babyface.
Exactly. There's no way. There's no way they can even pull that off. I mean, it would be so corny, you know?
Yeah.
If the guy was a babyface, it's like, it's just, wow.
See, like, another
I
one.
I wouldn't want to see that.
One of your contemporaries from the WWF, Chyna, I hated when Chyna worked men because she wouldn't bump. Chyna was
exactly, and that's one thing I wanted to do before I left WWE was wrestle Chyna, because everyone, you know, I guess the marks that not so far into Chyna being this great wrestler, I'm like,
right.
Chyna can't freaking push my Velcro together on my boots. You know what I mean? It's like.
Not title races,
you know,
push the belt.
I'll fucking take her down and stretch the shit out of her, you know?
Wow. I love it. It's true, though. It's...
So I feel I got cheated because I really wanted to show the world what China was made of.
Mm-hmm. We know that when you talk like that, I mean, I think the first thing that pops in people's heads is, you know, Jazz as a shoot fighter. And Rodney, we know your husband has been training in MMA and doing all that. Does Jazz have any MMA interests?
Jazz, no. Uh-uh. First of all, it's just, well, wrestling is my thing. And as far as doing MMA, I train, you know, to learn the craft. But as far as actually in the cage competing, that's
Do you believe, let me ask you this. Fundamentally, do you think that pro wrestlers coming up these days should use mixed martial arts training to add to their character, add to their offense, add to their believability inside a pro wrestling ring?
Yeah, I really do, because first of all, these guys nowadays, majority of them never worked on the indie show.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, so they don't know how to entertain the people, you know. They get in there just doing spots. I mean, you take a 10-year-old kid can go in the ring and do flips and spots and stuff. But as far as the work and in the ring, they just don't get it and they don't have it, you know. Mm-hmm. So as far as being believable, I don't know if shoot fighting would actually help that, you know.
Yeah,
I really don't.
I you know what? I don't disagree.
But you still got to entertain,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? And I feel that's what a lot of these guys and girls are missing. They don't know how to entertain. You know, they don't know how to really tell the story. So first of all, they're in the ring 3 hours out of a day on Monday, and they're going over a match. They're going to do 5 minutes, you know, and none of that can consist of interactive. And just entertaining the fans, you know, it's just going there, boom, 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 and you're 5 minutes finished, and bam, it's over.
Really interesting comments this past week from a guy you used to work for, Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman, he's been heavily rumored as being courted by TNA to come in and take over. And apparently this past week, Dixie Carter even offered him stock options and ownership within the company. And Paul's response was, TNA's not ready for me, because he apparently said what his plan would be. Anyone over 40 would be immediately fired, or they'd be used strictly in an ambassador's capacity, but not in the ring. He said that all the young talent would be required to adopt an MMA spirit and an MMA work ethic and MMA style, because that's what's hot. And he said they weren't ready for those kind of drastic changes, but that's what the pro wrestling landscape is going to be over the next 5 to 10 years.
Wow.
What's your reaction to Paul's statement? I mean, Paul's obviously never afraid to be bold.
No, he's never afraid to be bold. And if Paul feels that he can, you know, make that era very successful, I most definitely would believe him. I mean, because I consider Paul a genius when it comes to the wrestling business. You know what I mean? And he can make anybody a star. And that's something because they tend to allow people weaknesses to be shown, and Paul never allowed a person weakness to be, you know, shown.
Right.
And
he's going to
take your strong points, man, and turn you into the biggest freaking star. Like, wow. And so if he believes that and he can get in TNA and pull that off, I most definitely would believe him.
I would say that was Paul's greatest strength, was identifying your strengths, but more importantly, identifying your weaknesses and hiding them. If you're not good
and
on the mic,
hiding them.
Yeah. If you're not good on the mic, you'll never touch it.
You'll never touch it. Exactly.
If you can't strike, then you're never gonna. You know,
exactly.
And Paul was excellent at that. I think the other thing Paul was excellent at, Jazz, and I've mentioned this before on this show, and I think you could probably attest to this, he was great at surrounding himself with the right people in the back and the right talent to run the locker room, and that was part of the genius behind ECW, I thought.
Yeah, exactly. And another reason maybe he feels the work ethic from the MMA training is because these young guys now, they've never really been trained. They don't have a work ethic because they take them from Bally's gym and they throw them on TV and then they're a superstar. They don't know about traveling the road, you know, night after night, making $20, $50, 10 people sleeping in a hotel room, eating Vienna sausages, you know.
Sing it, sister.
They have no idea what that is.
Nope.
And everybody that works in ECW most definitely are very humble and paid a shitload of dues. And that's why ECW was so successful, because everyone paid dues and they learned to really care and love about the business, because everybody over there worked for the love of the business. It wasn't about money. Although we all wanted and needed money, but it was never really money.
Last question, Jazz. We just had the Hardcore Justice pay-per-view that ECW ran. A lot of people gave it glowing reviews. Were you contacted at all to take part in that?
I was, but it was kind of like said maybe do something maybe after the pay-per-view. But I was contacted, but I had other plans, had already had something set up for me to do way before that came into play. So
yeah,
I had other priorities, yeah.
They sort of threw that thing together very late in the game and started throwing out booking calls real late. In you know, perspective to how long it normally takes to throw something like that together, but pretty interesting though. I mean, the results of that pay-per-view, I think a lot better than a lot of people expected, and very interesting to see how this sort of plays out on TV for the next little while. Now that they're continuing this angle, maybe they do something.
I didn't get to see it yet. I would love to see it.
Yeah, we'll have to send you a copy.
All right, cool deal.
We'll do that. Jazz, listen, do us a favor. You've been absolutely awesome. Can you just hang on the line one quick second?
Yes, no problem.
Ladies and gentlemen, former WWF Women's Champ and one of the best pound-for-pound female wrestlers that company has had. She's top five. You know,
honest to God, man, it's like I always used to say, man. Every time I saw her in the ring, I'm like, she's really pounding these bitches.
Yeah,
man.
Top five, like up there, she... you got like what? Kelly, Candice Michelle, Stacy Keebler.
And another comment about all those girls. They're there to put all the boys over, if you know what I mean.
Right.
Guzzle.
That's their job.
Done the party.
That's another reason I'm not there.
Glug. I love it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Drew McIntyre's wife out of this. That is rude to speak of a man's wife like that.
How can you say such things about Michelle McCool?
Nice. I love it.
So wrong.
Well, I'm just telling you the truth. That's their job, is to put the boys over.
You got right it. Up. Keep the boys loose.
Some of them fall for him and marry him, but...
Right, yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Like Rodney. Cool as fuck. That's Jazz, man.
Love Jazz, man.
She is nice. She is sweet. Would she fall into the category of tickin' nice?
She not nice. She tickin' nice, Bridget.
Tickin' nice, Mr. Yeah. Tickin'
she's
nice.
She's the type of tickin' nice you don't want to fuck with, though, guy. You don't want to get on her bad side. You don't want to call her no rude name, guy.
No.
Talk no nonsense.
No.
You know what I mean?
But I do like that track.
It's a dope track.
Maybe we should go out on that this week.
Maybe. You know what? Yeah, tickin' nice is kind of, it's fitting.
Would I fall into that category?
No.
Dude, please. No, your boyfriend might think so. The same dude.
Oh, God, here we go.
Those guys, yeah.
Kill that
but,
noise.
But, yeah, ticket nice. Hey, listen, this is one of the orchestra classics.
It's in the store, right?
And it is in the store for just 89 cents. Y'all know, find her links.
So check it out. Maybe you can go buy it.
I think it's actually part of the one-year anniversary Oblivion, which is going to be, you know, that's limited. That's not going to stick around for long, so go pick that up. $9.99, you get all of Oblivion plus that track.
Wickedness, badness, Danny-O. I know you got a bolt because you're running off to see Biz Markie.
Yo, man, I'm trying to hop on that stage, son, and grab that mic. But no matter what, man,
you
that's an all-time classic. Huh?
You going to do a run-in on a concert?
I'm going to run in on a concert, yes.
Do they call them concerts when they're hip-hop?
Yeah, hip-hop concerts, absolutely.
Because to me, concert
sounds... You think niggas have their own word for everything?
Yeah, show.
Jam.
Show? It's a
jam.
What, unless there's violins and tubas, it ain't no concert?
I don't know. I kind of figure concert, you got to have a guitar. Yeah. You got to have
so unless there's a guitar,
set of drums.
It's not a concert.
Like, I don't know.
I'm seeing Green Day. That's a concert.
That is a concert.
Right. And I'm going to see Biz Markie at his concert.
But he's a hip-hop guy. He's one.
So hey, there's no such thing
at
as a hip-hop
flex
concert.
No, there isn't.
Take it from Blackface. Okay, fine. I'm out. I got to go run a flex. Is that
you...
Better?
But
you say he's just a friend, but he wants your knees to bend. You and Marty Frank don't know he loves seeds in his mouth and body too. He wants you in his crew. You gay boy, I'm out this motherfucker.
Wow.
All right, I know Daniel's got to go. He's already gone. Before we go, Frank, we got to mention because. We didn't want to do it off the top because we were fearful that it might turn the whole show somber.
Of course.
But the passing of another brother in the wrestling community, Lance Cade, passes away this past week at the age of 29 from massive heart failure, obviously due to years of fighting his own demons.
There you go.
And, you know, an 11-year vet taken way too soon, a guy who never had a chance to really showcase what he could do, who he could be. And it's too bad, you know, and I look at this not mainly from the professional side, but from the side of the fact that he was a father of two beautiful girls. He was a guy who had his whole life ahead of him. 29 years old. Dude, I was 29 years old. I still didn't know how to piss straight.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like you have your whole life in front of you at 29. You know, fuck, man. It makes me angry. But at the same time, I can empathize with these guys that get put in these positions because it's like, you know, you got the magic beans and you plant them and you're going to get the beanstalk to nirvana. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And the people that look down their nose at these guys, they've never been in a position where they're that close.
Oh, this industry is a pressure cooker. This industry can break people.
Totally.
And from 18 years old and your head's filled with, you're going to be a star one day, kid. And plus the paranoia, plus being released, it does a lot
twice
to a man's brain. Yeah, it does a lot to a man's brain. Having said that, WWE is a better place to work now than it was 20 years ago. Guys have days off. Guys have time to spend with their families. But this is still a business built on paranoia, built on if you get injured, you're off TV, you might not have a job next week.
Oh, that's for sure. And, I mean, the number one culprit that's taking our wrestlers too soon is the painkillers, the somas, and those sorts of things. And why are guys on painkillers? Because they're afraid. They're afraid they're going to lose their spot. They're afraid that if they don't come to work, that they're not going to have a job anymore. And that's and you say they have days off. Yeah, they do. It's not like in the 70s and early 80s when guys were working, you know, 400 shows a year.
Oh, yeah, twice on Sunday, every day.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, three shows on a Saturday. They're doing triple shots in three different towns. Okay, those days are gone. But they're still working a ton. Like, the average WWE wrestler is home maybe twice a week, three times a week. That's about it. You know, think about you. If you were only home two, three nights a week and you're living out of a suitcase, you know, your body is broken, and how you feel, you know, if I really don't feel like I can go to work tomorrow, but if I don't, I'm not going to have a job. If I don't have a job, then what the fuck am I going to do? You know, especially when you work for a company that is as monopolistic as the WWE.
Of course.
Yeah, you can go work for TNA. Yeah, you can go work in the indies. But are you ever going to make the same amount of money again?
I'm close.
No, man. Carlito talked about it before, and he finally came to the point where it's like, okay, I was making $7,000, $8,000, $9,000, $10,000 a week, but I was miserable. So he had to finally, after how many years in the company, come to terms and say, I'd rather be making less money, a lot less money, and be happy. But it was hard to come to that conclusion.
Oh, yeah.
And in the meantime, he had to battle his own demons. You
another
know?
Guy, yeah.
It's tough, dude. It is real tough. So, my sincerest thoughts, condolences go to the family, the friends, and again, especially his two beautiful little girls. Rest in peace, Lance. All the best to everyone that knew him. And to those that have to carry this burden into the future. Very quickly, before we wrap up, I just want to mention this bizarre thing that happened in the last 7 days since we had Billy Gunn on the show last week. I don't want to give away all the details, and I don't want to say too much, but let's just say this. There's some fucking rat in Winnipeg, Manitoba that's trying to ruin his life. Okay? Not just end his marriage, ruin his life. This fucking stupid rat. Feel free, y'all. Go add her on Facebook. Deborah Pinky Simmons. Go ahead. Add her on Facebook. Tell her she's a cunt. And the point is, and I'm not even going to get into the whole story. Fuck that shit. All I'm going to say is we've had people that have emailed us and said, how can you talk about what a great guy Billy Gunn is when he's committed, you know, adulterous acts and he's done this and that and blah, blah, blah. Look, again, those in glass houses, you know, should not be throwing stones, you know, he who's without sin cast it first, you know, and all that other biblical bullshit. All I'm gonna say is Billy Gunn is a stand-up fucking dude, and I like the guy, and I will go to bat for him any day of the week, especially over some stupid fucking tramp horse sleptbag rat. And I might have to take the t-shirts down out of the O store that says I love rats, because you know what, maybe we don't love rats so much. Fucking skis bags. And all I'm gonna say is believe half of everything you hear and the other half question it very thoroughly, everybody.
Very
okay. And Billy Gunn is the guy you heard on the O Show last week, who is a stand up dude, who is a straight shooter and will take on all comers and be judgmental of these no names that are trying to make a name. Okay. And if you want to know her name, add her on Facebook, tell her she's a cunt, and that's it. You can tell her Big Daddy Donnie sent you. My name is Big Daddy Donnie. That's your boy, effing Frank Fronte. Danny O is long gone. He's already singing with Biz Markie, doing his thing somewhere downtown Toronto. I don't know where the fuck he is. And we got to go. Ticken Nice. It's an orchestra classic. You can pick it up in the store for just 89 cents. Here it is right now. Check it out. I'll see you next week.
Yeah.
Yo, Grim, man. I know you agree. The Fisto's looking hot, right?
No doubt.
She looked like she could be a black woman.
No doubt.
She got that figure that we just love, you know?
She's the queen of the O Show.
She the queen of the O.
She got tits that go boom and an ass that goes pow.
What's that vibe we talk about, how we like our ladies, man?
It's like, I think, Tika Nice, it's a Tika Nice.
Tika Nice, it's a Tika Nice.
Tika Nice, it's a Tika Nice. Tika, ay, ay. Tika Nice, it's a Tika Nice. The girl's sweet like spice and she cook like rice. And I don't make no joke, but she get hit up real quick. Like I'm lucid dreaming, she get to see me real quick, yo. And I'm not joking or playing, but I'll just laying with them vibes. And shorty be coming around to get blaze up.
a lays up. She get hootie grays up. She got the cocky, she rode it like a jockey. She wasn't joking around, never playing. Yo, she thought she was whack. She wasn't drier like a cactus, but yo, I laid her on her back on the mattress and hit it till she skeeted. And then I beat it and she retreated. Cause I ain't playing or joking, but I left her open and left the pussy smoking when I touched the microphone and got open. Tick got nice, it's a hey.
Tick out nice, Mister. Tick out nice. Tick out nice, Mister. Tick out nice. Tick out nice, yes, you tick out nice. Hey.
Talking shit on the O Show. Luffy, please take off your clothes, yeah.
Take off them clothes. Fenabush!
Donnie, she looking spiffy, using that drum to hide your stiffy.
It's true, she makes
no,
excuse.
No, it's not. It's too small to see anyway.
That's a work.
It's too small, like the leaves point out all.
Voulez-vous coucher avec moi, le fils de
We shall live.
You know you're the queen of all. I gotta see them Montreal titties. Gotta see that Quebec ass. Even though French class I can't pass, I really wanna do it to you. I would even take a big light tube to the face just to see your pussy, baby. Put me in a death match with blood all over the ring. Baby, your ass truly makes me want to sing because you took out nice. We'd nerve these. Are you impressed? Well, that gets you in bed. Pamplemousse Grand Wee Rouge. Is that good enough for you?
Hey, take a nice with you, take a nice.
Take a nice.
Take a nice whistle, take a nice.
Take a nice.
Take a nice whistle, take a nice.
Take a nice.
Take a nice whistle, take a nice. She said take a nice.
Wee wee.
Yeah, so she said take a nice.
Seven.
Hey, so she said take a nice. Yeah, so she said. She so.
Take a nice.
That's bad news for TJ.
Get those thoughts out of your head, you big fat fuck. Never get hit. Cause I'm telling you now, you'll never get a girl like that to go down. She's way too. Even in an elevator, no girl will go down on you, sir.
Hey, listen. Listen to me, I'll have any Quebecer screaming mercy.
She could fall out a flight of steps and wouldn't go down on you. If her life depended on it, she'd say hell no.
And then I'll tell her, well, it's either me or Jerome.
She could have Down syndrome, still wouldn't be down for that shit.
I got nothing.
Take this shit home.
Woo!
I want to hear from you, Lefisto.
So
one
shy.
Verse from Lefisto.
Come on, it's on you, baby. No. All you gotta say is
wee wee.
She says, "Arret, boys.
Bring it on, Lo Gang Bang.
Come on, let a verse loose. Cause if you don't, these fuckers are gonna make me drink white juice.